Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Jay, we're starting to see some guys separate themselves from the pack.
Yeah.
It is not an elite class. I'll say that.
There's some positions, though.
There's some positions where, like, there's going to be some depth to those positions.
Like, obviously, running back, deep. I really like.
Running back's really deep.
Tight end, I really like, too.
Tight end's really good.
Wide receiver,
I think wide receiver's okay. Got some decent
pretty
depth.
Good. But
I think
quarterback.
Quarterback, this is...
That was my main takeaway this weekend, to be honest with you. I was like watching that, and I was going, these teams are hurting, man. If you don't have a quarterback now, you're hurting, or you're going to pay the bag to somebody like Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott.
Unless you're in the top 10... You probably are not going to have a good time picking a quarterback in this year's draft.
And you may not then either.
Yeah, and you may not then. I mean, it might be a sweep. But like, there's
it's
really
bad.
I think at this point now, just based off of how we've consumed and what we've seen, I think we agree there's probably two draftable quarterbacks in the first round.
Yeah.
That being Cam Ward from Miami and Shedeur Sanders from Colorado.
This could be like a few years ago when Kenny Pickett was the only first round quarterback, and clearly.
Right. Yeah,
that's not a first round quarterback.
Or like when EJ Manuel was the only one taken in 2013.
Yeah,
so
it's slim pickings.
Yeah, I mean, and even Shedeur is kind of questionable because of off the field concerns, attitude, ego, coachability,
nothing legal,
things
that,
like that.
Just the attitude.
That's the concern there. But like Cam Ward is really the only guy that for sure looks like a first.
He's got
round,
that good. And the thing
maybe
about
even
Shedeur
top five
is,
pick
is he's got that acumen. I mean, everybody likes it when your dad played in the NFL and he's a Hall of Famer and Coach Prime, you know, is an all time great. But I think his kids have actually more of an ego than he did. That was hard to do.
Oh yeah, no, and that's real tough.
And that's hard to do.
So before we hit on the college football stuff. Last week we talked a lot about potential trades the Chiefs could make at wide receiver and how that affects the draft. Obviously, you know, the Chiefs look like they're still in the market for a wide receiver in the draft within the first couple rounds, depending on how the board plays out. But, you know, we talked extensively about, you know, who we would want the Chiefs to draft. I think we're kind of in agreement about, like, a Deontay Johnson type, maybe a Calvin Ridley. You know, Slayton was brought up, though I don't really feel like that is it's a doable move, but I don't know if that moves the needle. But today it was floated out there that Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp, former Mr. Triple Crown from 2021, has been made available. The Rams have called multiple teams about a potential trade, and the Chiefs obviously would be one of those teams that would be a potential suitor for Cooper Kupp services. It doesn't do anything for me because you know, the right, they're reportedly wanting like second round compensation. I'm not doing that for a 31-year-old wide receiver who hasn't been healthy in three seasons. And not only that, even his cap hits aren't bad, but like still, you're talking about $15 million cap hits for a guy that can't stay healthy.
I mean, his salary is $12 and $13 million in the next 2 years. And you're right, he hadn't played a full season in 3 years. Now, can he catch it? Yeah, you mentioned the Triple Crown the other year in the NFL.
Yeah,
he played at FCS level at Eastern Washington, but he's the all division leader in catches, touchdown, and yards. Meaning, he's good at catching the football, and that's one thing the Chiefs need. Now, the ankle injury is what's been hampering him since week two, but it's always something. But I'll say this, and I don't really care about long term for the Chiefs. And people keep saying, "Well, what about DeAndre Hopkins over 30?" And it's like, so what, man? The Chiefs only need you till February.
He might not make it to February. Torn MCL.
No, but I don't mind getting a 30. Yeah, it's the MCL. But I do not mind a receiver in their 30s just till February, because I consider it a rental, because you got Rashee Rice coming back, albeit probably going to be suspended. You got Xavier Worthy coming back. And I think you're going to have Hollywood Brown coming back. So you're okay. The 30-year-old receivers, you need them till February. Yeah, but a 30-year-old receiver is going to be better than a Sky Moore out there. Let's be honest.
Right. Yeah, and like, and my thing is just like, I want the guy who is like playing the best at that moment, you know. And it's like, to me, like of the available guys, Deontay Johnson to me seems like the guy that's been playing the best of, you know, of those guys they could get. So yeah, I mean, that's the reason why to me he was you know, he's the best option out there. Again, you know, you brought up Cooper Kupp, you know. Ankle injury. He's been injured consistently.
Hey, for man, the last, I mean, I can see him going out seasons there and getting 8 for 153, and we're all going, whoa, yeah, we're getting and crazy then, about the deal. And the next week, he's out for three games.
He's out for three. He pulls a Juju. Yeah. And he literally could do what Juju did, where he killed the Saints, had a bye week, and he pulled his hamstring in practice, and he's going to miss at least two games now.
The Juju thing surprised me that they'd really mount so early. Because you'd think they'd for games.
Oh, they knew.
I know, but you'd think for gamesmanship, they just kind of linger this thing on till Friday and they go, oh, he's out. Like, you know what I mean?
But if he's not practicing all week.
Well, then, I mean, just make the Raiders guess on it.
I don't think the Raiders are guessing on it.
But usually the Chiefs make people wait a long time for it. Something I brought up to on the Fans Football Show to the guys that played the game, I was like, Juju was wide open. I did not expect it to happen in the Frisco game. Like, and obviously we didn't really get a good chance to see it, but he was left wide open a lot in that Saints game.
They didn't think he was going to be able to get open like that. Yeah. So like, I just think that, you know, I like I said, my thing about the Juju thing is not surprising, because I kind of feel like that's kind of the hint about a potential move that could happen here, because they haven't filled that roster spot.
Cornell Powell, by the way, is back on the practice squad.
Right.
They haven't done, he never goes away, man.
No, they haven't done anything with a potential roster spot or anything like that. So to me, that's kind of a hint there. But yeah, I think at this point now, if you're the Chiefs, you don't need to reach for anybody. There's a lot of good options out there. And I just think there's no good deal that can come out of
it. I mean, fit is so important with this team. It is kind of illuminating, don't you think, that Justin Ross or Nico Remigio hasn't been activated? I mean, this is 2 weeks.
Right.
They don't have any receivers, and they've just sat on the practice squad. And these were tremendous college football players. I think it goes back to, Chris, you and I both wanted it, multiple wide receivers in the draft. I think you look at this draft next year, multiple wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs. And not only that, I think, you know, drafting a running back, getting deep at that position, because Kareem Hunt's not going to last forever. And, you know, Pacheco, you're not going to sign him on that second contract after next year. So I wouldn't worry about it, because you'll have him for one more year. But the Chiefs do have the draft capital, I believe, to make a nice move on getting skill positions. It's kind of right into what the Chiefs need this draft, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Things are still kind of shaking up. I do think there's a lot of value day two, day three. But day one, like the first round is going to be really
hard. I think it's
hard.
Deeper than it was last year. It's not as top heavy, clearly.
Yeah, it's not nearly as top heavy as it's
3 years.
It's
going to be top heavy right now, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough right now. But yeah, I mean,
when you're Jeremiah Smith and you're Ryan Williams and Ryan Wingo's.
Yeah, no, it's very top heavy. It's been a lot more top heavy in previous years. This year, more in the middle there. I think that day, and I think that's probably the reason why the Chiefs are probably a little hesitant to make a move for, you know, spend too much on a receiver.
They don't want to pay that tax.
Because those second and third round picks they got are going to be really valuable in April. So moving on to our recap, top players from the week. Starting out, Edge, Antoine Powell Ryland. Yeah. Four sacks against Boston College. This kid is, I think, going to push himself up into potentially being a day two guy. You know, I think good rotational edge rusher. I really like this kid.
Down low with Scorton and with Pierce and those guys. But yeah, APR was unblockable.
Yeah, and I love the consistency from him. This is a guy that's just constantly getting after the quarterback, constantly putting up numbers like that. So, yeah, really impressed with what we're seeing from him. And this is a kid, like I said, just keep watching out for him. He's got 11 sacks on the year. Watch out for him because he could really put himself up there in that day two convo. Quarterback Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, 21-25 for 290, two touchdowns and a pick. And then both his wide receivers balled out this weekend. Evan Stewart had another good game with four catches for 96. And then Tez Johnson, seven receptions, 66 yards and a touchdown. So really liking what that trio in Oregon is doing out there.
You know what? I'm with you. In Oregon, they didn't have that letdown game. You think, okay, they're going to have that letdown game after Ohio State, but they didn't. And I'll tell you this much, too. Dylan Gabriel is kind of positioning himself into the second round, third round category quarterback. He's 6 foot. I mean, he's so cerebral in the football field. We talk about this quarterback class, and he's still delivering. And Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson definitely going to make some money in this year's draft. But I think Dylan Gabriel has helped himself the last couple of weeks for what he's doing.
Running back Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, 16 carries, 107 yards, two rushing touchdowns.
Finally!
He also had three catches for 20 yards and a receiving touchdown. Now, it's a little bit of bad news with him. He's been really banged up lately.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a cryptic tweet that was sent out by his running back coach past weekend that it kind of looked like one of those like farewell posts, if you will. And there's speculation that Ollie Gordon may have played his last game for the Cowboys.
And that sucks. We were waiting for that breakout game for him. He finally had it. Like he was awesome.
Yeah, he is.
Against a good team.
He's a guy that I think we both really like, but Ollie might be trying to nurse some injuries, hanging it up for the year so that he could prepare himself for April. There's nothing set in stone, nothing's been announced or anything like that, but it's very possible, kind of considering how this thing's looked.
The team's not making the playoffs, we know that.
And they're not making the playoffs, and like if he is legitimately like got all of these injuries, then I completely understand why he would want to sit out in that scenario and take care of himself, because, man, like there's a lot of money to be made in running backs. They don't have a lot of time to make that money. Devin Neal, running back for KU, 17 carries, 108 yards, two touchdowns, three catches for 26 yards as well. So good, consistent production. He's generally on our list for top performers for the week. So I think he's definitely doing a good job of setting himself up for like a day three pick.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to see him once get like a 25 to 35 carry range. Just see.
I think it was a couple weeks ago he had like almost 30 carries.
I mean, he comes back to Kansas to try to help him this year. I mean, that's respectable. I mean, you want a guy doing that. Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, I think had his best game by far. The 247 through the air, the three touchdowns, but he had 58 on the ground. So I think that was important for him. Obviously, he took some of those carries because he took seven carries on his own. But Jalen Daniels, a guy that we certainly thought was going to be a surefire draft pick, at least I did before the season started. Can he creep back into the later rounds? We'll see how he finishes the year. But Houston sucks. Make no mistake about Houston. They suck. And I like Willie Fritz. I like Willie Fritz, the head coach, a lot, but they suck.
Moving on to Georgia and Texas. This was not a very good offensive game, really, on either side. Carson Beck didn't play well. Quinn Ewers didn't play well. Arch Manning didn't play well. I mean, this was not a great offensive matchup at all. And a lot of that had to do with the edge rushers that play for Georgia. Jalen Walker had 3 sacks. Mikael Williams had 2 sacks.
Yeah, Walker stood. He was the one that popped.
Yeah, like those guys were getting after the quarterback. And you know, I looked at some mock drafts. Both of those guys are being mocked in the first round. I've seen Mikael Williams mocked number 1 overall. I don't think that happens, but definitely seeing some hype for those two guys. And then Gunnar Helm, your guy, tight end for Texas, 6 catches for 62 yards.
Turning into
good,
that game.
Consistent performance.
Gets a good defense. He stood out. I think the main storyline, obviously, was that call where they threw the stuff on the field. The fans did, the water bottles and the beer cans. And then they reversed the call. It was pass interference. They got the call right. It's just weird that they reversed it when they did. But going into quarterback play, because I don't think Quinn Ewers looked that sharp in that first half of that Oklahoma game. They were able to roll the Sooners, but the Sooners aren't a very good team. Ask South Carolina what they did to them. But it was a welcome to the SEC moment for Texas. But Ewers was bad, man. He had an interception, 2 lost fumbles. He hurt Texas. So, okay, Sarkisian needs to make a change. The former quarterback makes a change, puts Arch Manning in. And Arch Manning showed something, but then he fumbled as well. And he gets himself benched for the second half. So they're in a real situation as far as their quarterback. Because Arch Manning didn't give him that spark, I think, that they were looking for. And even if he did, man, how much does that hurt Quinn Ewers' first-round stock? And Arch Manning's not going to draft this year. He's coming back again for next year. So it was a bad. And Carson Beck, the 3 interceptions. It was not a good look for the quarterbacks. And this is kind of where I come into this. When these quarterbacks going to step up because they're just not doing it.
Honestly, I think Quinn Ewers' stock for the first round has been gone for like a couple, 2 or 3 weeks now.
It went.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them. To break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
He's never been a guy I've been really high on, especially when you watch the Xavier Worthy film. So, like, Xavier Worthy would have easily had, like, probably three or four more touchdowns if Quinn Ewer had any deep ball accuracy that was consistent. I haven't been super high in him, and, you know, I think we've seen that in action this year because he doesn't have the gross level of talent around him that he had the previous couple years. And, yeah, it's been a little tough for him. Moving on to Miami and Louisville, Cam Ward, I think both of us think he's going to be the top quarterback in this draft class. 21-32, 319 with four touchdowns. Wide receiver Xavier Restrepo, he had seven catches for 101 and a touchdown. And then a guy on the opposite sideline for Louisville, Ja'Cory Brooks, a guy that we talked about a little bit last year, looked to be a potential day three guy at wide receiver. He had six catches for 107 and two touchdowns as well. He's actually put together a pretty good season, almost 700 yards on the year. So definitely a guy to look out for. I think that's a guy you could see as like a potential, like, he could potentially work himself up to day two, maybe like somewhere in that mid to late third round. Could be a fourth round guy, but I think there could be some value there with him.
Yeah, Jalen Walker, impressive. He was injured. He did have to be walked. They won't say what the injury is, but he had to be walked back to the locker room in that game. But as far as the Miami and Cam Ward. Yeah, Cam Ward just stands out, man. I mean, that defense has been so bad. What, 34, 35, and 41, 42 points they've given up the last 3 weeks. I mean, went down to the wire against Cal, and he's on the road, and he proves he can get the job done. He had to do it again this week as far as pressing the offense down the field. Remind me of Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, to be quite honest with you. But the four touchdowns, and again, Cam Ward is really standing out to me as the best quarterback in this class. And Xavier Restrepo, if you're not watching this guy, I think Restrepo gets it in the first round, to be quite honest with you.
It's very possible. It's very possible he could be a first-round guy.
Great route runner, and he catches everything.
Yeah, yeah. I really like the kid. Like, he really kind of jumped off to me like middle of last season. Thought he might leave and enter the draft. He did not. He stayed, and I think it's been a good investment for him because he's definitely starting to make a name for himself.
Yep. But I had to bring up Jalen Walker from Georgia again just because he really stood out. But he was walked to – I mean, he didn't even play a full game and was that good in that Georgia game.
Cornerback Malachi Moore for Alabama had a pick in their game against Tennessee. Edge rusher James Pierce had 1.5 sacks as well in that game. So good to see the defensive guys really kind of show out. Riley Mills, a defensive tackle for Notre Dame, he had 1.5 sacks as well. Then defensive tackle Shamar Turner for Texas A&M, he had a sack in that game. That's a guy you're starting to see some talk about him being a potential first-round pick, somewhere in that mid to late range. Colston Loveland, tight end from Michigan, seven catches for 83 yards, turning in another good, consistent performance. I think he's probably been the most consistent tight end this year of the tight end class. So I think
I like Warren a lot, though.
Yeah, I like Warren. Tyler Warren's really good as well. Gunnar Helm, obviously.
We might see two tight ends the first round this year.
But yeah, Colston Loveland, man. This kid's really good.
Because of the lack of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, Colston Loveland, really good, really talented. That's a guy to look out for in round one. Wide receiver Ty Felton from Maryland, he had nine catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. This is a guy I've talked about as a moneymaker here. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And Felton is really starting to put in the good, consistent performances.
No, he is. He's a playmaker, man.
Yeah. He's more of a mid-round, probably, you know, late day two, early day three guy. But this is a guy to look out for because he could be on a roster.
But if you got like the Chiefs, you throw a dart at this guy in the first round later on.
I'd be all for it. If they could get him on day three, I'd be all for it.
They need guys like that.
Running back Caleb Johnson, 21 carries, 166 yards, two touchdowns rushing.
That guy's just sick.
He also had three catches for 22 yards and a receiving touchdown. Man, I really like this kid.
He's a junior, but Matt Nagy, the Senior Bowl, considers him really, one of his top running backs, if really, not the top.
Yeah, I really love this kid, man. Like, again, third, fourth round is about where I'd be looking at. If you could get him in the fourth round, I'd be incredibly excited because I think this kid's got workhorse written all over him. I mean, he's big, 6'2", 225. Like, to me, he fits exactly what the Chiefs like to do, especially nowadays with them playing defense, with them being, incorporating the run more into their system, especially more power run. Yeah, I really like this kid. So moving on to our rookie recap, starting with Xavier Worthy. Against the 49ers, he had 3 catches for 19 yards. He also had a carry for 5 yards. Could have had more. There was a play where Mahomes was going to try to throw him open on a deep crosser, and he slipped, and it led to a pick. But, you know, Mahomes is still targeting him down the field. The team's still giving him touches, you know, albeit manufactured a lot of times. But they're definitely still interested in trying to get him involved in the offense. And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time before he starts to really kind of put it together and separate himself.
It's a lot like we were talking about before the other day about the pressure on him. Yeah. That was clearly on there, because that was when Rice was healthy and all that. When Hollywood Brown and we went down and said, well, he needs to step up. Well, now it's on him to be that guy. And not only that, he can be that good decoy, too, down the field, because they are having to respect that speed.
Right. I think, though, for him to be an effective decoy, you need a consistent guy underneath to catch that. And I think right now they're missing that. Now, if they go make a trade for, like, a Deontay Johnson, who's a great underneath receiver, well, now all of a sudden it makes things easier for Xavier Worthy over the top, because the defense has to come up and make tackles anyway, so they're going to be a little bit more likely to try and jump some of these routes and try to come up and make tackles. So, yeah, I still think, like I said, I'm not concerned about Xavier Worthy or anything, but, you know, the role that he's playing now, he's more of a decoy, and, you know, it's not quite as effective because there's nobody really underneath that you can consistently trust. The other guy, Jaden Hicks, my guy, had a pick in the end zone against the 49ers.
And he looked good doing it. Good pressure really from the defensive line. Good.
Yeah.
And Chris Rowland Williams, the undrafted free agent from USC, getting a pick too. He barely snapped. Well, his only snap, I think, he played that game and he got a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, Duffy still didn't have one, which is, you know, because they don't throw to him, but it's just kind of funny how that works.
So I think with Jalen Watson's injury, you might see more playing time from Jaden Hicks, just because I think it means that you probably see less time in the slot for Trent McDuffie, which means that you're probably going to see, I mean, they got to figure out who's going to play.
Shamari Conner will be there a lot.
Yeah, but like there's, you know, they love to play dime a lot, which means that you have 2 slot corners.
Najee Johnson will be out there.
And so, yeah, there's going to be some, I think there's good options there for Jaden Hicks to get more playing time now.
Also a guy that can shut down tight ends, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and so.
And they've struggled against the tight end this year.
They have, and a lot of it's like Justin Reed, you know, he'll misplay something or he'll slip and fall or something. So, you know, I definitely want to see more from him, but I really like the fact that he was able to get his first real big play of his NFL career, and that's really exciting to see. So let's move on to our moneymakers here. My first guy who I think made himself some money this weekend is Ja'Cory Brooks, wide receiver for Louisville. 6 catches, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. On the season, 36 receptions, 679 yards, 8 touchdowns. This is a guy who, again, he's not like a top end, gonna, you know, I don't think he's going to be a number one in the league. But I look at him as a potential, like, DeMarcus Robinson type guy as far as contribution goes. He could be a number 3 receiver. He could be a number 4 receiver. I think he's a guy that you add in as depth, and he could eventually be like a better version of Justin Watson. Like,
agree. He's good. He's good in the routes, good on contested catches. He does everything you want.
And you don't have to keep signing him to a 1-year deal like you do with Watson. I would like to see them go out and get younger at some of these roles that they have on the team. Like, they keep bringing in these, you know, these late 20s defensive tackles, and you keep bringing in these late 20s wide receivers and whatnot. Go get a guy, you know, as a second wide receiver in your draft that you can have him on your roster, have control of him for 4 years, and then you can kind of develop him. And if he turns into a really good receiver, that's awesome. But if not, if he's just a complimentary piece, that's great too.
My first moneymaker is Cam Ward. Again, sticking with the quarterback theme, 21 of 32, 319, 3 touchdowns, 29 yards rushing. But you can't blame him for the defense of Miami. And I do think this is a playoff team, but he's proven he can win late. I mean, that's what you want quarterbacks to do. Do you have that it factor? And Cam Ward has proved that to this point. I don't think he's quite the Heisman guy to this point. think that's Austin Genty, to be honest with you. And I put Cam Ward there. I do have Travis Hunter, Colorado, but, you know, being out the second half of that game, even though it was a dominant performance by Colorado, that part scares me. I do think he's the best player in college football, but I think Cam Ward for sure is the best quarterback.
Yeah, and Hunter hasn't played well the last couple weeks, and, you know, Cam's out here balling out. Genty's all out here balling out.
So Genty was off this week.
Yeah. Well, he's been balling out lately, though.
100%.
My second moneymaker, Antoine Powell-Hyland. 4 sacks. Now he's tied for the lead in the FBS in sacks with 11.
11's crazy.
I love this kid. I think he's, again, a good rotational edge rusher. And, you know, when I think about what, like, if the Chiefs were to be able to go get him on day 3, like, if you get him in, like, the 5th round or so, I would love that.
And they love edge rushers.
I could see him being a Mike Dana type. I'm all for the rotational guy. We know that Spags loves those type of guys. So yeah, I'm all for it. My second moneymaker, Antoine Powell-Hyland, he's been making himself some money, I think, with his performance this season, putting himself on the map, and I think he's continuing to do that.
A lot of guys really didn't stand out this week as far as stats. Obviously, we could put Caleb Johnson on there, the running back at Iowa, but I went Jalen Noel for the undefeated Iowa State Cyclones at this point. Very solid game. 8 catches, 153 yards for the season. 36 for 681, 3 touchdowns. But he averages 18.4 yards a reception. He's tremendous in the slot in what he does. By the way, he played Park Hill High School. Man, they're just loading up on receivers, too, because Ronnie Bell with Frisco almost had a touchdown against the Chiefs from Park Hill High School as well. But I'm putting Jalen Noel on here just because I'm being consistent there for Rocco Beck and that undefeated offense.
So moving on to our I want to talk about which positions we agree are big-time needs right now for the Chiefs. Because, like, I was on PFF earlier. And I was kind of playing around with the mock draft machine. And it said the needs for the Chiefs were running back, tight end, and tackle. Offensive tackle.
Didn't have wide receiver.
For the Chiefs. Didn't have wide receiver.
Yeah, I've
didn't
that.
Have defensive tackle. Yeah. Didn't have potential corner.
That's going to change.
Running back, tight end, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Those are the needs that they said for the Chiefs.
You don't want to see offensive tackle because you want Kingsley to be that guy.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think tackle is a need for the Chiefs.
Defensive tackle, yes.
Yes.
Tight end. It
I don't feel as much.
Were you getting, because mid-round you're going to get a Jared Wiley type. I mean, you really have to go first or second round if that's if you really want a true game changer at tight end, in my opinion. I know Kelsey was a third rounder, but again, you're not going to get in there Travis Kelsey. I mean, he's a generational player.
So I think for offense, obviously, wide receiver is the number one need. They need at least one more. I would prefer two, just because I think you want to get younger. You want to get guys on long-term, you know, four-year deals.
Now they're seeing what happens when you have injuries, which they've been coming up plenty. And not only that, it's across this league.
Right.
We see it happen. DK Metcalf went down. Chris Godwin just went down for the Buccaneers, and he's going to be gone for the year. You know, Mike Evans is going to be gone. He's going to miss that Chiefs game in a couple weeks. I've been saying we're seeing receivers being hurt, and obviously the Chiefs a ton, because there was question if Juju was going to play or not, and obviously he didn't. So this is why a Cornell Powell comes back up to the practice squad. This is the situation.
And it's like, it sucks because, like,
they're winning. Don't get me wrong. They're winning with this, but, I mean, come on.
It'd be nice to not be on the verge of a heart attack every week because the Chiefs might lose.
Or Sky Moore getting the amount of snaps he did, and he doesn't catch anything.
Can't catch anything. The one target he got, he dropped. It's just like they need some youth in there, because when you're out here calling Juju to come back with his bad knees and now bad hamstring, and when every one of us is expecting you to call MVS and bring him back to the team.
Well, Saints did that one for us.
Yeah, it's like that's the problem. So I think wide receiver number one for sure. I think we can both agree wide receiver biggest need for them on offense. I don't feel quite as strongly about tight end. Obviously the contract Noah Gray is something that takes
Noah
away.
Gray's
plus
been
you
balling
have,
out, man.
Plus you got Jared Wiley on his rookie deal.
And we still really haven't seen what he's capable
so
of.
We
but
don't
Noah
know.
Gray, we are.
Yeah.
And if Jared Wiley can get up to that pass catching ability of a Noah Gray,
that's good. That's nice.
But the Chiefs like the 3 and 4 tight end looks.
Right.
But if you have the receivers and you're set at that, you don't need the 13 personnel or 14 personnel like they have. Again, I think there's playmakers at tight end. But again, that's into the first round type stuff. And I'm reserving that for wide receiver.
Like first or second round is like where I think a lot of the top tight ends will go. I do not think I would want the Chiefs to take a tight end in the first two rounds. Now, if this were like one of those tight ends like draft classes like we saw a couple years, like we saw in 23, where we were looking at some of these guys as like at like fourth, fifth round, or even this past year, where you had a guy like Theo Johnson available in the fourth round, like I could be enticed by that. But this year, I'm not looking at this draft class for tight ends as anything that's deep.
They have a first-round pick, a second-round pick. Obviously, those are at the end. The third-round pick. But then they get the Titans' third-round pick, too, because of Jarius Sneed. So that'll be much earlier because of how bad they are this year. Fourth round, a fifth round, no sixth rounds, and two seventh rounds.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm like I said, tight end, not really interested in that unless somehow, some way, like you start to see some of these guys that would probably be day three guys start to really show something. But I'm not really buying that right now. Like I said, tight end, I think, is a position I'm really almost willing to cross off my list. Running back, though, have to get it. I think you need to get one running back, probably day three, because Pacheco. Look, we know what he is. He's an often hurt but very talented running back. I don't think they should pay him long term. I love Pop. I think he's really, really talented player.
Pay a running back
long. I'm not paying him. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather go get you a workhorse that you could build around, you could have on your roster for 4 years, and you don't have to pay him anything. That's what I would want.
And I'm okay with Carson Steele staying as a fullback.
I'm cool with that, too. I'm cool
Clyde's not coming back. We know that. Yeah, he's not coming back after this year.
It was funny. I was reading some
Kareem
stuff.
Hunt, and, I mean, I don't know how much you're going to get with him at next year. I mean, this year he's been great.
But he's been great. I think this might just be a little one-year reunion. Maybe they bring him back next year. I wouldn't count on that. I think he turns 30 next year. So I just think if you're being smart as the Chiefs, I think you go get you a running back in the draft.
And this year to do it, so deep.
Yeah, this is one of the deepest running back classes.
Because you're going to see some in the first round, in my opinion.
I think we'll probably see at least one. I think it's going to be Ashton Jeanty.
It's going to be Alec Gordon, but I don't think Alec Gordon goes past the third.
I think Gordon's probably going to be like mid to late second.
Judkins will be up there. Giddens will be up there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot. Like I said, there's day two is where I think a lot of all those top running backs.
Caleb aside Johnson's. From Jenkins, I mean, there's some guys in this draft.
Yeah, I think day two is where you see them running backs go, but not day one, aside from Jeanty. And I don't think tackle's a need. Because I kind of feel like they're going to keep Juwan another year. Juwan's actually playing better this year. Not quite as many mistakes. And he's actually been pretty decent in pass coverage.
Wanya's been good. I know that Bosa still gets some pressures and stuff like that. Bosa. They moved him around the line. Bosa, but you're going to have that. But Wanya's been...
He's been pretty decent.
You start thinking, all right, maybe Wanya next year. I mean, maybe so.
And here's the thing is like... They could, and I talked about this in the offseason... They could still post June 1 Juwan. They could move Wanya over to right, and they could have Kingsley start left.
Or Kingsley at right.
It could be the inverse of that. So that's still on the table because both Wanya and Suamataia have played on either side of the line of tackle. So I'm not leaving that out of the equation. But I don't think tackle, like I saw a mock today where it was they mocked a tackle to the Chiefs, and I was like, no, that ain't
I don't like their draft position with it because, again, I think personally, if you want a real tackle difference maker, it needs to be top 15.
Yeah, it's tough to
go. I mean,
to
go can take you get him at the end of the first round? Yeah.
Yeah, you can, but it has to be a pretty deep draft to do that.
Yep.
On defense, obviously, defensive tackle. That's a major need. That might be your biggest need. Just because you got, three guys on one-year deals at defensive tackle opposite Chris Jones?
Guy that can play three technique, play the edge. I think the versatility on defensive line is what they're going to be looking for.
So I think you definitely want to get you a defensive tackle. I would like to see them go grab another corner just for depth reasons.
Which you know they're going to.
Yeah. It's probably going to be later in the draft. I don't think they're going to go high with the corner unless the board is all kinds of messed up.
Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, Nazee Johnson. I mean,
Unless the board is all kinds of messed up, I don't think they go high at corner. But I definitely think probably later day three, they go get themselves a Jalen Watson type, really athletic, but undervalued, good size on him type guy that they can develop, a Joshua Williams type. I can see that.
And Josh Williams is a fourth rounder, isn't he?
Right, yeah, he was, but he's day three. But he's a day three guy.
Yep.
So, like, yeah, I like some guys like that, guys who are more project guys at that position. I can see that. But defensively, I don't think they're going to really go crazy. I mean, I guess in another, like, rotational edge rusher would be nice. Again, Antoine Powell Ryland. I would love to have him as a rotational edge rusher on this team. So, So yeah, I think we're in agreement. Any other positions you think the Chiefs might need?
You nailed it.
So good. Yeah, like I said, I think we're in agreement here. I would say probably what, 5-6 weeks. We should probably start looking at some of these mock drafts because you know, once conference championship weekend's done, we're gonna start seeing some of these guys get their position a little bit more solidified. And we can kind of look and see where these guys are going to be going. But I think there's not as many weaknesses on this team long term, but there's some positions you do want to handle for the immediate future. So moving on to our Week 9 watch list. Starting off on Friday, you got Louisville taking on Boston College. Wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks, guy to watch out for there. This is a kid, again, who was on the radar last year, decided to come back, and I think he's having a good season. The other game to watch on that Friday is Boise State taking on a UNLV. Ashton Jeanty, running back there, maybe the only running back taken in the first round of this year's draft. On Saturday, you've got Nebraska taking on Ohio State, man. Both running backs that they got there, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, Emeka Egbuka, who I have seen in some mocks, that's first round.
A lot of Chiefs even towards the end of it with Emeka.
Right, yeah. I've seen some Chiefs. But Emeka Egbuka is going to be in the conversation late first round for the Chiefs. Both guards, Donovan Jackson, Carson Hinsman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Offensive tackle Tyleek Williams. This is a guy I also saw mocked to the Chiefs late first round. This is a kid to watch out for. Again, let's make sure we let this caveat be known. We've talked about this now for almost 2 years. The Chiefs do not have a single Ohio State player on their roster. They do not draft Ohio State players. I don't know. Brett Veach seems to not. He got beef with that school.
We can talk about their blue in the face, but.
Yeah, they just don't have any.
Now, would they have passed the Marvin Harrison Jr.? I don't think so. But.
They would not have. I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have passed if they would have had the option.
Or Jeremiah Smith when he comes out.
Yeah, or if J.J. Smith is there. If he's there. I don't think they'll pass on him unless he completely falls off the face of the earth. But yeah, Tyleek Williams is a guy I've seen mocked to the Chiefs. So this is a kid to watch out for. It's a position of need. He's a big dude. He's like almost 330 pounds. He's massive. So this is a guy I'm going to watch a little bit more tape on this kid. But this is an intriguing prospect when you look at the size on him. Both edge rushers, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, and then both corners, Denzel Burke and Jordan Hancock. If the Chiefs were to go corner early, Denzel Burke would be a good option because he does have probably late first, early second value. Notre Dame takes on number 24 Navy. Tight end Mitchell Evans is a guy to look out for. Howard Cross III, defensive tackle. Could be a good day three guy. Linebacker Jack Kaiser and cornerback Benjamin Morrison. Oklahoma takes on number 18 Ole Miss. You've got wide receiver Deion Burks. If he plays, he hasn't played in the last couple games for the Sooners. But he is still someone I think is very intriguing on day two. Maybe
just
like
switch your
three.
Offensive coordinators at Oklahoma because they get hammered by USC.
Yeah.
Or not USC, the Trojans, the Gamecocks.
Yeah. And then you've got Danny Stutzman and Desaun McCullough, both linebackers for them. And you got Gentry Williams at corner. And then on the opposite sideline, you got Jackson Dart, quarterback. It did seem like he might be able to get into the first round at quarterback, but his stock's fallen a little bit. But they do have two really good wide receivers in Trey Harris and Juice Wells. And then they also have a good, I saw this guy mocked sixth overall. On a mock earlier today. Princely Amonmilin, edge rusher for them. I don't think he's a first-round pick. I think he's probably a third-round pick. But Amonmilin is a guy that's really talented, that just hasn't quite lived up to that yet. And maybe he finishes the season strong, has a good showing in the pre-draft process, and ends up getting taken higher. Georgia Tech takes on Virginia Tech. Easy. Antoine Powell-Ryland, edge rusher for the Hokies. Definitely a guy you want to look out for. And then UNC takes on Virginia. My guy, Omarion Hampton at running back. I love this kid. I think he's the second best running back in this draft class. And then you got Bryson Nesbitt as a tight end. This is if there was a mid to late round tight end that I would like to see the Chiefs take, Bryson Nesbitt is the guy. I like this kid. I'm really excited to see what he does at the combine. I hope he stays healthy so that he can go do his thing at the combine, because I think he could be like this class's Theo Johnson.
I think the combine's going to be really interesting with some
of the combine I think is going to be really big for, especially for wide receivers and especially for edge rushers, because there isn't an established hierarchy in those positions aside from like the top three. So Illinois, number 20, takes on number 1 Oregon. Dylan Gabriel, talked about him a lot. Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart, wide receivers. Both offensive tackles, Josh Connerly and Ajani Cornelius. Defensive tackle, Jamari Caldwell. Edge rusher, Jordan Birch. Cornerback, Jabbar Muhammad. Number 21, Mizzou, takes on number 15, Miami. I mean, not Miami, Alabama. Luther Burden, wide receiver for Mizzou. Again,
we've seen top three, full, but
top three wide receiver. I saw him one mock earlier where he was like 20 seconds,
which is fine,
which is ridiculous.
Keep falling because
that's
Duke
ridiculous.
Can play.
I would love for him to fall. If he fell to 22, I would be screaming for the Chiefs to trade up and go get him because I think he's Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he just screams Ja'Marr Chase to me. Wide receiver Jeremy Bernard, both guards. Jeremy Bernard's for the Crimson Tide. Both guards for Alabama, Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts, will probably go in the first three rounds. And then defensive tackle Jaheim Otis.
And we took Jalen Miller off.
Yes, I took him off. I don't care.
Even though a lot of them stay the top five quarterback.
I don't
quarterback.
Care what like Trevor Sikkema put as his
quarterback.
That's
accurate.
Not a first-round quarterback. Jaheim Otis, defensive tackle for Alabama, and then Damani Jackson, who I think could be one of the more underrated corners in this draft class. Northwestern takes on Iowa. Caleb Johnson, running back. He's a workhorse. He's big. He's got good size to him. Big fan of this kid. That's a kid you really want to look out for. Wake Forest taking on Stanford. Two guys that I love. Edge rusher Jasheen Davis. Wide receiver Elik Iyemanner. I've seen Elik Iyemanner get mocked in the first round.
He's so tough. He's a physical receiver. He can block as well and makes the contested catches. He's someone I would love having on my team.
Unless there is a surefire late first round defensive tackle.
I like this kid, man.
I want the Chiefs to go Elik Iyemanner late first round. If there's not a surefire, gotta have him type guy at defensive tackle, I think I want Elik Iyemanner.
Again, someone wants to see the speed at the combine.
Yeah, I'll be interested in the speed. I don't think he's a speedster. I think he's probably a 4.4, like, you know, a low 4.4 guy.
It's a Puka Nacua type guy.
But a low 4.4 guy as a slot receiver or potential like outside receiver, I love it. Like I said, to me, this isn't about a speed play here. This is about getting a good, consistent receiver that can run routes, make difficult catches, and that's what Iyemanner does. Oklahoma State taking on Baylor. Maybe Ollie Gordon. Again, you know, cryptic stuff about him. He might not play. We'll see. But DeJon Stribling, wide receiver for the Pokes, that's a guy to look out for.
And don't count it against these. They have no quarterback at Oklahoma State.
No.
I mean, Bowman's terrible.
No, they try to play their backup, and he got hurt.
Bowman comes in. It's bad at Oklahoma State.
I'm not going to blame any of these players for sitting out because they're hurt and they want to save themselves for the draft. I completely get it. You see coaches all the time take new jobs and dip before the season's even done. So they can try to get on the recruiting trail. I don't see any problem with any of these players dipping so they can protect their draft stock. So I have no issue whatsoever with if Ollie Gordon calls it a year and lets himself heal up for the draft.
We're going
to
see less guys opt out because of the playoffs were expanded. So it's less
which is good. Which is the reason why the expansion was great.
And we've passed that threshold where guys say, red shirt and hit the transfer. We've passed that.
Yeah, we've passed it for most players because they've already
they played
five-plus games. So. Texas takes on Vandy. Vandy is ranked 25th in the nation. Texas
Diego
5th.
Pavia, buddy, in the eight last hours.
Yeah. Wide receiver Isaiah Bond, you know, late first round value. That's a guy I like. I don't like him as much as Iyemanner right now, but I do like him. Tight end Gunnar Helm, very good tight end. Could be a good day two, like second, third round guy.
Kind of reminds you of Kid Otten a little bit at the Bucks.
Yeah, he's kind of like that.
Because Caden's making all the catches for him.
Yeah.
Taking some hits, too.
Yeah, he does take some hits. Then their tackle, Kelvin Banks, who I've seen mid-first round on mocks.
Rough game for
He was getting worked.
Odds on number one tackle, he and Will Campbell, as far as left tackle. But not good for Kelvin Banks.
I love
his story and I love his backstory. How much he took care of his parents and all this.
Yeah,
and Kelvin Banks got all those off the field. No character concerns with Kelvin Banks,
but he did
get schooled.
But he did have a bad day at the office. And then defensive tackle Alfred Collins. West Virginia takes on Arizona. Obviously, Teteroa McMillan is the guy to look out for there. I've seen some people rank him as their top wide receiver. I still put Travis under there, but I get it.
His size.
The size is just, it's incredible.
He's got a Mike Evans vibe to him.
Yes, he definitely has Mike Evans vibes there. Florida State tucks on number six, Miami. Obviously, Cam Ward, our guy, and Xavier Restrepo, wide receiver. Those two guys, so much fun to watch. I love watching Cam Ward. I really love watching Xavier Restrepo. Both really talented. I think you might be right on Restrepo.
It's kind of like watching Chiefs games. They all go down the wire, except the Chiefs don't give up the points to Miami.
Right, yeah, exactly. They don't.
But it comes down the wire and it takes the quarterback making plays.
If anything, it's kind of like 2018 Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, he's answering the questions. Can you lead the comeback?
Yeah, well, he's doing it a lot because he has to. Number three, Penn State takes on Wisconsin. You got tight end Tyler Warren. could be the top tight end in this draft class.
Yeah, don't let him fool you. A typical Big Ten tight end, physical, big. No, this guy can play.
He's talented. And then both of their edge rushers there for Penn State. You got Danny Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter. We'll see about Drew Aller. I've seen some mocks where he was in the first round. I'm not buying it.
He's going to take advantage of the lack of quarterbacks, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
I expected more of him with the new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelinki.
Me too. I thought he was going to be a lot better than what he's been.
You know what? Credit Penn State. They're still undefeated.
And he's not bad. It's just he doesn't look
good. James Franklin doing his thing again.
Yeah. Number 8, LSU takes on number 14, Texas A&M. Both tackles for LSU. You've got Will Campbell and Emory Jones. You also have a guard in Miles Frazier. And then on the opposite sideline, you've got Moose Muhammad, the third wide receiver for the Aggies. You also have Nick Scorton, who I've seen get first-round hype. This dude is big. He's like 6'4", 285.
He's a situational guy that they do rest him a lot. That would be a concern. He's not.
Yes, that is very concerning. And that's the reason why I'm not buying the first-round hype for Scorton. I love the size.
I think he goes first round, though, just because of that.
I love the size. And here's the thing is, with his size, you would think he might be a fit for the Chiefs because 6'4", 285, can play on the edge. He can play on the inside. Spags would love that. My only thing, though, is if he's only a rotational guy, can he play? Can he be a first round pick? Because I'm not taking a rotational
guy.
And
also, LSU Garrett Nussmeier, their quarterback, starting to get some buzz as well.
Yeah, I've seen some a little bit.
Garrett Nussmeier's starting to get his run.
I'm not buying it, but yes, he has absolutely been getting some
supply and demand. Yeah. He's going to take advantage of supply and demand.
Yeah, defensive tackle Shamar Turner, who did get a sack in A&M's last game, and then cornerback Will Lee III, a cornerback I really like on day two. Michigan State takes on Michigan. Nobody from Michigan State. But running back Kalel Mullins, who I think could be a day three steal. I really like this kid.
I think Donovan Edwards, despite the bad year, still gets picked up at the very end.
Maybe.
I think he's seventh round dart throw.
It's very possible, yeah. Colston Loveland, who I think you make great case, top tight end in the class still. Both defensive tackles for Michigan, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant, potential late first-round guy. Edge rusher Josiah Stewart, linebacker Jayshon Barham, and cornerback Will Johnson is probably going to be the top corner taken in this draft class. Then you've got Auburn taking on Kentucky. Dane Key, wide receiver for the Wildcats. And then Deion Walker, the other player for Kentucky at defensive
tackle. Brown on offense there, too.
Yeah, Berrien Brown, but he hasn't been very
Kentucky
consistent.
Kentucky's slipping, man. 3-4.
Yeah, and they got their ass whooped by my Gators, man. That was a tough day.
Yes, they did.
KU takes on K-State.
Showdown, baby.
Yep. Running back Devin Neal for KU. Guy to look out for. Also, their cornerback tandem with Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson. On the other sideline, you got running back DJ Gittens, who I've seen in some top five discussions
top five
for running backs in this draft.
He is the only running back to go over 100 yards against Colorado, believe it or not.
Yeah, so that's a guy to look out for. San Jose State takes on Fresno State. A guy to look out for, wide receiver Nick Nash, who's been incredibly productive.
I like Nick Nash.
Been incredibly productive. It's a guy it was like a month ago on my money makers.
Extremely physical.
This guy is he is very consistent. He gets a lot of targets for San Jose State. This is a guy to look out for. He could be a guy like if we're gonna say who could be the Puka Nacua of this draft class, it might be Nick Nash.
Nick Nash.
It might be Nick Nash. And then finally, since he takes on Colorado, two guys look out for Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
And I also think Jimmy Horn, if you're looking for receivers.
Jimmy Horn, but Jimmy Horn's probably like a third day, deep third day pick.
They got three probably draft receivers at Colorado, in my opinion.
Probably fifth or sixth round on him. So all in all, we've done some winnowing on the list because some of these guys just they're not playing like that. And so that's what you got to do. You got to prune your list a little bit, cut it down. But I still think there's some good talent. I don't think this is going to be like, I'll say this, if the Chiefs are able to produce a super class of rookies out of this class, that's just going to be one of the greatest jobs we've ever seen Veach do. Because this isn't very top heavy. There's not a lot of easy, slam dunk picks. But there are some good players you can take in this draft. So I think it's encouraging what we've seen, but it definitely is one of those situations where things are kind of, that Nagy tweet that we talked about, where it's like, maybe 10 to 12 first round picks in this draft class. I think he's right. Because I'm looking at these mocks and there's nothing consistent like it's been in previous years.
You like to see 15 to 20.
Right. You'd like to see 15 to 20. I don't know if there is. And that kind of helps the Chiefs out because, you know, the Chiefs could probably get some good value later in the first round or even in the second round. So, and if there's a guy that they have a first round grade on and that guy falls, they'll have a little bit of ammunition to move up because they got that Titans pick. And that Titans pick is probably going to be really valuable because the Titans suck. So,
On offense.
Their defensive line is really good.
They went last week, number one defense in the league.
Titans defensive line is really good. They've been mauling opposing teams.
Buffalo ran over them though, but
yeah, they did. But you know, that is a team that is kind of streaking right now.
Lost my pick of the week. It was a 9-point spread. I'm like, man, the Titans keep it close. Yeah,
the Titans weren't going to keep that close. Not without and Will Levis isn't even good, but not without Will Levis. So, thanks for listening to us. Make sure you download, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you listen to us on. We're going to be back next week. Continue on with the coverage of prospects for college football. Going to keep you updated on the latest news regarding the draft and regarding the Chiefs as well and how that pertains to the draft. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.